Jesus.com.
Many experts will tell you the next financial bubble to burst will be student loan debt. With $1.6 trillion in outstanding loans and more than a 10% default rate, that's an easy prediction to make. But you don't have to participate. You can take steps to minimize borrowing for education and accelerate payments on your existing debt. Financial planner and teacher Rob West tells us how today. Then it's your calls and questions on anything financial at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, paying off student loan debt faster. That's next today on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, $1.6 trillion with a T is a whole lot of money. Why do you suppose this mountain of debt has grown so high so fast?
Well, there's an old saying in economics, Steve, and that is what you tax, you get less of. What you subsidize, you get more of. The federal government makes it easy to take out student loans, but trust me, there's nothing easy about paying it back, which could take you 10 or 20 years, perhaps even longer.
Right. And something like 44 million Americans now have outstanding student loans with an average debt of over $35,000. But we want to help our listeners today to become non-participants in student debt. So where do we start?
Well, first and foremost, you want to minimize borrowing. To rephrase another old saying, a penny not borrowed is a penny earned. So what you don't borrow for education, you have to save. We, of course, like the 529 education savings plan for this. We talk about it often. I would encourage parents to start one for each child as early as possible. Another way to minimize borrowing is to be extremely frugal while you're in school. As we said, federal loans seem like easy money, so there's a temptation to over-borrow for living expenses. You want to keep your lifestyle as frugal as possible while you're in school. A good way to do that is memorizing Proverbs 22:7. You know it well, Steve. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender.
That's right. Fair enough. But if I already have student loans, how do you recommend we pay them off faster so it doesn't take 20 years?
Yeah. Well, an obvious way is by paying more than the minimum payment. That does two things. It moves up the date when your student loan debt will be paid off, and it reduces the total amount you'll have to pay in interest. But you have to make sure that your extra payments are applied to the principal of your loan and not simply applied to next month's payment.
Yeah, just like you would when paying extra on your mortgage. Okay,
that's
got
right.
It. What's next?
Yeah. Well, then, the next option can save you a lot of money in interest, but you have to be careful with it. You can refinance your federal student loans with a private lender. Private fixed interest rates are now as low as 3.5%, and that's lower than on most federal loans. Mm-hmm. But here's why you need to be cautious, and we've talked about this before as well. If you refinance with a private lender, you'll give up certain advantages of federal loans like deferments, forgiveness programs, income-based repayment options. All of these things are available for federal student loans, and you need to think ahead as to whether or not you want that option in the future. Now, if you decide to go with a private lender, look for one that offers a discount when you sign up to have payments automatically debited from your checking account. That could actually save you as much as a quarter point off the interest rate.
Okay, good to know. All right, what else?
Well, make a commitment to put any extra money that comes your way toward your student debt. So, for example, tell family members that cash would be appreciated for birthday and Christmas gifts. Tell them it will have a multiplier effect because it'll reduce the amount of interest you'll have to pay on your student loans. Even a small amount will have a big impact over time.
Okay, well, there go the socks and extra pair of underwear.
That's right.
Give me cash, Mom and Dad. All right, how about something outside the box? What do you have there?
Okay, how about going to your boss and asking for help? In recent years, Steve, some employers have started offering assistance for repaying student loans as a way to attract and keep qualified workers. Employers now can make tax-free contributions of up to $5,250 per employee each year for repaying student loans. That's pre-tax money, so it won't raise the employee's gross taxable income, and some companies are catching on to this and providing it as an incentive.
All right. What about any federal programs to pay off student loans faster? Anything?
Yeah, there are several. Some government employees can get up to $10,000 a year through the federal government student loan repayment program. Nurses and teachers can access the Nursing Education Loan Repayment Program and Teach for America. And if you're working in the public sector, you can get help through the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. You need to know the parameters because you've got to follow them closely in order to qualify. But if you do, it can be well worth it.
Okay, that's great information. And thanks to our researcher, Jim Henry, for a yeoman's job today. We'll have links to all the things we just mentioned in our show notes for today. 800-525-7000.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
The English writer Charles Lamb had a biblical perspective on good deeds. He wrote, "The greatest pleasure I know is to do a good deed secretly and have it found out by accident." This sounds like the counsel Jesus gave to his followers when he told them not to do their good deeds in public in order to be rewarded by the praise of men. Instead, Jesus said, "Do your good deeds in secret and let God reward you in his time and way." Truthfully, we all enjoy being admired, even praised by others. But God's praise is far more meaningful and long-lasting. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's reasons for doing good. I'm Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, we're just hanging out on this wonderful day that the Lord has made. Thanks so much for being with us today, whether it's saving, giving, getting out of debt, managing what you have, or investing what you have. We're here to discuss it and help you with it. Here's our phone number if you'd like to speak with Rob West, 800-525-7000. Toll free, jot it down, give us a call, 800-525-7000. Now's a great time to call because we have some open lines. And Rob, with your permission, we'll jump right in, okay?
That sounds like a great idea, Steve.
All right, let's go up to the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Renee. Thanks for holding, and what's on your mind, sir?
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
The question that I have is that there's this perception, especially in this country, where we as parents should be obligated to pay for our students' education, higher education. I've been an educator for over 25 years, and it's putting several parents into severe debt.
Yeah.
When does this perception come from? Because in the state of Illinois, if you're a divorced parent, your kids can take you to court, and you would be obligated to pay for their higher education. I believe it's from freshman year up until they graduate with a bachelor's degree.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate where you're coming from there. And I certainly agree with you. I think for many families, it's just kind of a common practice that they think, well, you know, we live in America, and so our kids should be able to get a college degree. And, you know, they're not necessarily going to be able to pay for it. And therefore, we need to assume that burden. And, you know, I just don't think that's necessarily the right choice for everyone. I think it's should be something that should be considered prayerfully, starting with what is the right path for the student. Is it a four-year degree? Is it something else, depending on how God has wired them and where he's calling them? I think also, you know, what we mentioned in the opening topic here today was the ready access to loans has almost kind of in the midst of our, you know, monthly payment culture has just become accepted as, well, I just am going to borrow, and that's just the way I'm going to pay for this. And I think we need to guard against that thinking as well, especially given the incredible run-up of college tuition prices. You know, the college tuition inflation has well outpaced regular inflation. I mean, I've seen numbers in the last several years of 8% or more. And, you know, there are many that are calling for college tuition perhaps to be the next bubble. So I think we need to be on our guard there. And because the federal government has made it so easy to get these loans, and so often not only parents are becoming strapped and it's really hindering their ability to save for the future, which, by the way, you may be able to borrow for your kids' college. You can't borrow to fund your retirement, that season of life where you perhaps redirect your time and energy to something else and you're no longer earning a paycheck because maybe you can't. And, you know, if we're forsaking one for the other, I think we're putting ourselves in a real difficult spot in terms of our ability to save for the future. So what's the answer to all that? Well, I think it's several things. Number one, it's prayerfully considering what portion of your kids' college you want to take, if any. And if you do want to take some, pray through that early and communicate that early so your kids know what they're going to be expected to be responsible for. That's the way my wife's mom handled it. She let my wife know very early on that if she wanted to go to school, she was going to need to pay for it. And they turned their living room into a college scholarship factory and applied for hundreds of them. And she paid for all of her college on her own. And she was a great student, but she did that. So I think clearly communicating expectations early, number one. Number two, don't just assume there aren't other ways to pay. Scholarships, grants, working on campus, perhaps part-time. I was a resident assistant and had all of my room and board covered, while I was there at school. I ended up becoming the station manager of the radio station my senior year, and that helped. So there are other ways to pay for school. Taking advanced placement classes in high school, so perhaps you can get some credit so you can reduce the total number of hours you have to take once you get there. Going to a two-year school for the first couple of years and then transferring is another way. Not to mention just really buckling down and saving in the summer. So I think we've got to get out of that automatic mindset of, well, there'll just be a loan that I can take advantage of and that'll take care of everything, and really look at each situation based on how the Lord is leading, how God has wired your kids, what your financial ability is, and then put the plan together accordingly. Hmm. So I don't have the silver bullet answer, Renee, but hopefully that gives you some thinking.
And as an educator yourself, we appreciate hearing your thoughts on that, Renee. And of course, Rob, it's a different generation than it was 25, 30, 40 years ago. There's also peer pressure today among parents. I mean, if you look around and you're the only couple not helping your kids through college, you start to feel a little weird yourself and start second guessing, well, maybe we're just not generous people, or maybe we don't love our kids or whatever. But it's something that every couple has to work out on their own.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think we need to also look at what the degree is that the child is pursuing. And if you are thinking about taking on debt, have a reasonable expectation of what that starting salary would be, and therefore what are the prospects of paying it back in a reasonable period of time. You shouldn't borrow more than the first year's salary in full, in my view, in total for your student debt. I also want to mention Jim Henry's doing research for us today, and it looks like he was able to put his finger on what Renee was talking about. Looks like Illinois law law once allowed children to sue parents for education expenses, but it was a part of a divorce settlement where one parent agreed to do something and then didn't, and that has been abolished. So perhaps that's no longer a factor, but I think Renee's bigger point still holds true.
Yeah, great information. We appreciate that, Jim. Give Jim a raise, Rob. He's just, I mean, early into the program, he's killing it. He's just making it happen. So, all right, there you go. If you'd like to make it happen, here's the phone number, 800-525-7000. Tampa, Florida. Amanda, what's your question for Rob?
Yes, sir. We have a 529 plan with American Funds for our children. They're 3 and 1. And we got a postcard in the mail from Florida Prepaid saying that it would be a good idea maybe to switch over to their 529. We're just kind of wondering what in 20 years it's going to look like to go to a college campus. Or maybe it's all going to be online and tuition rates might be lower. If it's worth doing a payment plan like the 529 through America Prepaid, Florida Prepaid, or if we should just kind of stick with what we're at.
Yeah. Well, Amanda, I like the fact that you're starting early, and I do think it warrants some planning to make sure you don't oversave. And I think, you know, we're going to have to watch what happens with college tuition over the next 5 and 10 years just to see, you know, what are those longer term trends. I think coronavirus accelerated some of the trends that were already happening. And of course, one of those was the higher education move to more online education. We'll see whether that'll play out. We'll also watch and see what's going to happen with the cost of college. The challenge is these universities that have all these gorgeous campuses with phenomenal buildings that requires a lot of money to keep all of that going and maintained. So there's a certain limit as to how much those prices can come down without seeing a number of these universities close. Bottom line is it's not going to be cheap no matter how you do it. And so getting a leg up by saving in advance is a great idea. We love the 529 plan. Given that you're in Florida, Amanda, you don't have a state income tax, you really have the option to go anywhere in terms of your 529. And even though you're already in the American Funds plan, and I don't remember which state that is, you could stop that and perhaps start another one. So here's what I would do. I'd go to savingforcollege.com, run through their tutorial and calculator, and they'll actually, based on your specific situation, evaluate your plan versus all the other plans in the country that you can choose from and give you a recommendation. So I'd start there, but I wouldn't automatically flip over to the Florida Prepaid. As good as that is, I'd rather you invest just the way you are, but do it in light of a plan that with a goal, so you know ultimately what you're working toward that you and your husband have really thought and prayed through.
Amanda, thank you very much for calling in today. We have to pause for a brief break. You're listening to Money Wise with Rob West. When we come back, Charles and Helen both have questions about their 401ks. We'll see if we can help them. This is Money Wise Live. Stick around.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
No amount of following a list of rules will ever sustain your freedom. It'll never happen. Never happen. Just like the law, the legal code cannot save a person from his sins, a legal code, not just the, any legal code, can also not save us from our spiritual bondage. If you've got a huge addiction you've been dealing with, or you got this compulsion you've dealt with for years, you've got this area where you've been in a stronghold of sin, you're not going to ever know a sustained freedom by keeping a list of rules. You see, we want some, we think, okay, we need an accountability group, and we do. Every single one of us do. But there's not a person on earth that can keep you, hold you accountable enough for you to be free. When we know everything to do, but we're not going to do it. We don't want to. It hadn't taken us enough. And this is why I asked the Lord, I wish to, help me to put it nicely. But see, I've been the worst. I've done this gig. And for some of us, we are not going to want out until it hurts us so bad we cannot stand it anymore. And I promise you, if you belong to Christ, that will happen. That will happen. And man, do we want to jump before it does.
Beth and the team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word gift to 57682. Again, text G-I-F-T to 57682 or go to bethmoore.org/donate. That's bethmoore.org/donate.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
And we hope that your day is going well. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Our phone number, 800-525-7000. If you have a money-related question today for Rob West, we continue on by going to the St. Louis area. Hi, Charles. What are you thinking about today?
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call, and I really appreciate your program. I tune in whenever I can.
Thank you, sir.
I've been with the company about 9 years, and I 3 years ago they had me join a union up here. I'm from a different state. They had me join a union. I had no retirement stuff at all up until I started with this company. Nothing, just paycheck to paycheck. And now I'm I contributed to a 401k for until about $26,000, and then when I joined the union, I couldn't contribute to that anymore, and I got something called an annuity now with the union. And my 401k is still growing with the company. Before the COVID thing, it was about $29,700. So it came up from $26,500 to $29,500 in the 3 years. And my question is, is it best to leave it there and to let it keep growing? Or I don't have another place I can put it into that I know of.
Yeah.
And I can't put it into the union thing. That's called annuity or something. I don't
right.
even understand that part. And,
sure. Let me ask you this, Charles. So that 401k, if I understand correctly, is a previous employer. Is that right?
No, it's the same employer. They
oh, it
just
is.
Had me, my employer had me join the union, and so I'm still working for the same company.
Yes, sir.
And
okay,
I love
very good.
The company. I'll be with us forever. You know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so you can't move that out until you separate from the company. So really what you're left with is making sure that you have the proper allocation among the investment choices inside the 401k. So every 401k, based on who the plan administrator is and the plan makeup, will have a listing of various investment options. They're generally just mutual funds inside that 401k. And they'll usually have some target date funds where you can, you know, pick a fund based on your expected retirement date, and then it'll automatically get more conservative over time, more aggressive, you know, as long as you're 10 years out from retirement. And then there'll be some specific funds, probably a cash fund, a bond fund, then a kind of a value fund, then more of a growth fund, and, you know, a few things in between that. Some of them have quite a long list as well, and so there'd be a number of options. So really what you want to do is, in light of your goals and objectives, your age, your risk tolerance, you want to make sure that you are taking a look at that, or somebody is, every 6 months, certainly every year, just to make sure that you're positioned properly and that you're not overly aggressive or overly conservative, just kind of given your time frame and time horizon for when retirement might be down the road. So if you're feel good about doing that yourself, you could certainly do that. If not, I'd probably call the plan administrator, the HR department, and say, ask if you can get connected to somebody at the company that administers the 401k so you can get some advice. And they'll readily give that to you. Just give it a once over and perhaps give you some counsel on what would be the best strategy for you given your age and so forth. So I think that's where you need to go from here. But you're right. You can't move that money out until you separate.
Thank you, Charles. We appreciate that question today. Let's move quickly to, well, Chicago. And Helen, what's your question for Rob West?
Hi. Hello. I just recently retired, but the same question with the 401k. I do have four options to cash or stay with the current that have the company to manage that, or take that money to have the Transamerica is the financial company to individual account they can manage that, or IRA. So I don't need to touch this unless anything happens next maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
But since the stock market is going down, I don't know what would be the best way.
Yes. Yeah, very good. Helen, if you don't mind me asking, what do you have roughly in this 401k?
In this one is I have about 200,000.
Okay. And so you've already connected with an advisor at a company. I think I heard you mention one, and they're recommending you roll it to an IRA and then they would manage it for you. Is that right?
I mean, so I check with my employer with what is my option that that our employer that used the Transamerica Financial Company, they gave me that four different options. Yeah,
I see. I see. Here's what I would do, Helen. I like the idea at this point, especially given that you don't plan to touch this money, but it does need to be managed in such a way that is consistent with your goals and objectives. You don't want to take any unnecessary risk. At this point, you're not trying to beat the market. You're trying to get a good rate of return so this money can grow, but also it'll be there for you down the road if you need it to supplement your income or you need it to help you pay for long-term care or whatever you might have, not to mention any giving you'd want to do now or in the future, and passing it on to heirs or to a ministry at your death. But regardless, as a steward of God's money, we want to be a good and wise manager, and that includes getting a proper return consistent with what you're trying to accomplish. So here's where I would go from here. I would go to our website, moneywiselive.org, click on Find a CKA. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. Put in your zip code. You'll find a big long list there in Chicago. I'd interview three. These are going to be men and women who are financial professionals with a long history and experience, but they've also been trained to bring biblically wise financial advice. They're really specialists in a biblical worldview of professional financial decision making. Find the one that's the best fit for you, and then perhaps roll it to an IRA so it can be managed in a way that works for you.
Helen, we appreciate your phone call today. We wish you the best. Have a great weekend. When we come back, we'll speak with Claire about an investment program for a widow. This is Money Wise Live.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, this is Steve Moore of MoneyWise Live, and this is the Moody Radio Verse of the Week. It's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. That's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
As we face the issues that affect our lives, we need to see them through God's eyes. We gain that perspective by reading the Bible every day. Today in the Word is a daily devotional from Moody Bible Institute that proclaims the truth of God's Word through reflections on Scripture and insightful articles. They even answer your questions about the Bible and living your life for Christ. Find out how you can have Today in the Word delivered to you at todayintheword.org. todayintheword.org.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A federal judge has blocked New York State from enforcing coronavirus restrictions, limiting indoor religious gatherings to 25% capacity, when other types of gatherings are limited to 50%. Judge Gary Sharp acted today to enjoin Governor Andrew Cuomo, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, and Attorney General Letitia James from enforcing some of the capacity restrictions put in place by executive order to contain the spread of the virus. Texas Governor Greg Abbott scaling back restaurant dining in his state. The moves are the most dramatic reversals yet as confirmed coronavirus cases surge. Texas has reported more than 17,000 new confirmed cases in the last 3 days. Stocks sharply lower today. The Dow was down 730 points. The NASDAQ was off 260. This is SRN News.
Hey, we have something new and exciting we want to tell you about. It's a magazine. In reality, it's an e-magazine that'll be delivered to your email box on a monthly basis. And Rob, we have edition number 2 coming out shortly, and it has to do with summer, marriage, family finances, summer activities, things like that, right?
That's exactly right. The theme for this summer's MoneyWise e-magazine is the MoneyWise family. And so we're dealing with what you need to know and prepare for financially before you have your first child, questions you need to ask if you're an engaged couple. And, you know, June is wedding month, Steve, and so this is a great opportunity to be thinking about what God has for you and your new marriage, financially speaking.
Yeah.
What about communication? You know, we're featuring a new podcast that you and I recorded with Shanti Feldhahn. Basically, she did a groundbreaking 3-year study with her husband, Jeff, on marriage and money called Thriving in Love and Money, and really uncovered some fascinating things that can help you have better communication around money in your marriage. All that's in the MoneyWise e-magazine. So head over to moneywiselive.org, click on sign up, give us your email address, and we'll be sure to get that to you at no cost.
Yeah, sign up for your free subscription. It's moneywise.org. And yeah, Rob, this weekend I'm sure there'll be millions of June weddings this weekend, and you know what that means. There's going to be a lot of cake available.
Yes.
There you go.
And you like white icing, right?
I do like the white icing. The chocolate cake with the white icing will do it for me. Just fine. Thank you very much. Chesterfield, Missouri. Hi, Claire. Thanks for your patience. What's your question?
Well, I want to tell you how much I appreciate and enjoy your program. And that I pray for you and all your loved ones and all the people that are involved in your organization.
Claire, that is very sweet.
I pray a lot. And I also want to know that I heard on your program a person that had invested in an organization that was really safe, because I don't I keep it all liquid. I just buy CDs. And it was for, like, elderly sisters or elderly priests, and you and your associate were very impressed with this organization because you have never heard of it, and it's very safe to invest in.
You know, Claire, and first of all, let me just say thank you for being a faithful listener. Thank you for being a prayer warrior, too, and for lifting us up before the Lord. That means a lot. You know, I'm not recalling specifically what you're talking about, and my antenna usually goes up pretty quick when somebody says the words safe and investments and good return and senior citizens. Those things usually don't always go together very well in the sense that, you know, there's been a lot of scams that have made their way through the local church. There's been a lot of people that have been duped out of a lot of money around quote-unquote guaranteed investments, which there really is no such thing unless it's U.S. government backed. And so I'm not recalling what you're speaking about. But what I would just say is this, you know, I think you've always got to start as a steward of God's money and saying, where is the best place for me to get a proper return on my money, take a proper amount of risk so I can accomplish my God-given goals and objectives. I can maintain the lifestyle I feel like God's called me to. I can give as God leads to the local church and to those that are in need around me, that I can have something for the future because I don't know what the future holds. Only the Lord does. So we trust Him, but we should be savers and we should be diligent in that. And we know the rising costs of health care in that season of life is challenging for many. And so that's why they want to the best of their ability to be saving. And they want to get a good return even in the retirement season of life where God has redirected you away from full-time work, perhaps to something else, being able to invest properly. So I don't think there's ever any replacement for just good vanilla-flavored investments. And here's what I mean by that. Not overly complex, not something that you don't understand that involves a lot of bells and whistles, but just really diversifying your assets among cash for at least 6 months to a year, so you have liquid reserves, if possible, among what you're doing, CDs and high-quality bonds and treasuries. And then for a portion, depending on your age and whether or not you're living on the money, perhaps some very high-quality investments in stocks, maybe some dividend-paying stocks through mutual funds or ETFs or even individual equities. And I think having an investment professional to manage all of that is really the very best way to go. But in terms of, quote unquote, a good investment program that's safe for seniors, unfortunately, I don't know of anything that's a replacement just for good, solid investment strategy that I just described. I hope that's helpful, though.
Claire, the Kingdom Advisors that we have around the country, and there are hundreds of them, men and women, are all men and women of faith. So when you speak with one or several, if you have that opportunity, you can be assured that they are people of faith who understand your position and have the same guiding principles that you do. Now, my notes say that you're in your 80s. Rob, is there still space for people in that age group to be involved in the stock market?
Oh, absolutely. I think the question is just in what percentage. So you might say, you know, at 88, for somebody who's got their expenses covered through Social Security and maybe a pension with some assets, that you'd still want to have maybe 20%, maybe more in stocks and the rest in bonds and cash equivalents. You know, this might be money that you plan on giving away, might be plenty of money you plan on inheriting. You may not ever expect to need it. And so you want to have a growth component to it. But obviously, the older you get, the more conservative you want to be, and that's what an investment sure. professional would do. So, Claire, if you need some assistance, head over to MoneyWiseLive.org, click on Find a CKA, and there in Missouri, I would interview at least three before you make your decision.
And CKA, of course, means Certified Kingdom Advisor. Claire, we're glad that you called today, and thank you for being so sweet and for your kind comments and your prayers. We really are blessed by that. Tampa, Florida. Hello, Joan. Just a couple of minutes. How can we help?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling. I am retired, but I work part time. But I was calling because my house note, I owe about $12,500 or something like that on my house note at 7.8%. And then I got an equity loan for $4,000. And I think that's just, I'm not sure about the interest rate on it. I think it's a 5. In my savings, it's only about 24. But I have emergency fund of 10. I'm thinking of taking that money and paying off that house note because the interest rates are so high. And then as I'm working part-time, taking that and putting it back into my savings.
Yeah.
I just need you to tell me what would be best to do.
Yeah, I like that. Joan, when you look at your budget, what would you say is the total of your expenses for a month?
It's about, with the present time, it's about $2,200.
Okay. So, you know, with $10,000, you've got about 4 months worth of expenses there in your emergency fund. And assuming you don't anticipate any major disruptions or major expenses on the horizon, I really like your plan. I'd definitely pay off that $12,000 loan at 7.8%. That's a guaranteed almost 8% return on your money, which you're not getting in your savings account by any means. You're probably lucky to get 1%. So that's going to pay that off, save you some interest, and now you don't have that payment every month, which is going to allow you to do two things. Maybe you take half of that and start replenishing your savings and take the other half and let's go after that $4,000 home equity loan. Pretty soon you're going to be completely debt-free, and then all that money's going in into additional savings and giving. So I like your plan, and I would go exactly in that direction.
Joan, thank you very much. We trust you'll have a great weekend, and we'll be right back.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. So how is your attention span going during your pastor's sermons? If you find yourself nodding off, it says a lot about you. It's not about being saved or going to heaven. It's about the focus of your attention until you get to heaven. If you're saved and merely focused on living a righteous life until you reach heaven, you have all the information you need. Boredom sets in, Bible-saved prayer times become obligations, and staying focused on your pastor's sermons all but impossible. It's time to get your mojo back. You know you should be sharing your faith. What you don't know is that sharing your faith turns every day into an adventure, your Bible study into a treasure hunt, and your pastor's sermons into a goldmine of information for your next encounter. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
This is Ann Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. On what foundation are you building your life? It's an important question, one we all need to consider. All around us, we see lives collapsing with broken hearts and broken homes and broken hopes. Lives with shattered minds, shattered emotions, shattered bodies, and we cry out, what's gone wrong? The answer is that the foundation on which the majority of people are building their lives is cracked and flawed. 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's only one foundation that will last, regardless of the crisis or pressures of life, and it's Jesus. Listen to me. Establish a personal relationship with Jesus, then develop it through your Bible reading and obedience so that it's strong enough to see you safely through life's storms and pressures. Build your life on the foundation that lasts. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Okay, and with that in mind, let's go to Sioux City, Iowa. Hello, Jeff. What's in your mind?
Hey, thanks, guys. Love your show. You guys do great. Have a great ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
I have an 18-year-old grandson who lives with me. He turned 18 in August of 2019. I got my stimulus check. we filed for him to get his stimulus check, and they said someone else, his mother, claimed him as a dependent that year.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he get a stimulus check if the stimulus is for 2020, not for 2019?
Yeah. Well, the challenge, Jeff, is that the only thing the IRS has to go on presently is the 2019 return, because obviously the 2020 return hasn't been filed. So our understanding is this. For children who are now 18 and stopped being a dependent this year, meaning you or his mom won't claim him as a dependent, then as soon as this tax year is over at the end of 2020, he can file his own taxes and then get a check at that time. Because here's the requirements to get the $1,200 payment. He needs to not meet the IRS definition of a dependent, which this year he does not, even though they don't know that yet. Plus, file a tax return in 2020, which he won't be able to do until early next year. So the downside is he's got to wait. The upside is he still should be able to get that money as soon as he can file his own return and nobody else claims him for this tax year. Does that make sense?
Okay, super. Yep, that's great.
Okay.
We'll just have to wait then.
Yes, sir. So we can teach him a little patience in the meantime. But hey, God bless you, Jeff. Thanks for listening. Appreciate your kind remarks.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jeff. You know, Rob, I was listening closely. I understood everything you said, but you have to admit that it can get a little murky, a little muddy there when you're trying to understand these things, huh?
It is the IRS, Steve, so murky is ever present.
Yes. All right, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Jim. What's your question?
My question is, we have not received our stimulus check, my wife and I. And, I heard on your program that they sent them out in possibly in a debit card or something.
Yes.
And
yes, right.
If we might have thrown it away.
Yeah, you know. Right. It's certainly something that we've heard of quite a bit. There were a number of people that that got these prepaid debit cards. It was not the majority, but there was millions of them that went out starting the week of May 18th. And it came from a bank called MetaBank. And it was absolutely valid. It wasn't a scam, as some people were thinking it might be. So I would go to irs.gov and just do a quick search. Let me just ask first, though, Jim, you didn't file your taxes through someone that had a holding account that the return or that the refund came to before it was dispersed to you, did you?
No.
Okay. No. All right. Because sometimes that was tripping people up, where it was sent to the CPA's account and they didn't actually see it. So I'd do one of two things. Go to irs.gov. There is a form 3911 that you can file. It's normally for folks who've lost their tax refund, but the IRS is using that for a lost stimulus payment as well. You've got to be patient. It can take a while to get it, but it's IRS form 3911. Or you can call them. Now, their system is often overwhelmed, so it can be difficult to get through to a live person. But you got a pencil handy. It's 800-919-9835, 800-919-9835. And just ask them about it. Let them know that you think perhaps you threw it away and you need to know about getting one reissued. It will happen eventually. Be patient. But, it's a little strange that you haven't gotten that first one by now.
Obviously, Rob, this thing with the stimulus checks, it's a learning experience for all of us, including the government. Recent headlines tell us that over 1 million checks were sent out to deceased people in the amount of $1.4 billion. Now, I'm not sure how that's going to be recovered, since dead people are notorious for being unresponsive.
Right.
But right. Hopefully we'll get some of that money back.
Well, I suspect most of it won't be cashed, right? So it never left the Treasury's coffers. So.
Right. Let's see. Let's go to Marvin in Illinois. And Marvin, thanks so much for holding on. And you may be our final caller today. We'll see. How can we help you?
Okay, thank you for having me, sir.
Yeah, could you speak up just a little bit, Marvin? Could you speak up or get a little closer to your phone for us?
Okay, can you hear me better?
That's better, yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for having me. My question is, I'm with an insurance company who I pay I round it off to $30. It's almost $30 per month. And the guy that I got the insurance from told me that if I should die, then my beneficiary, which is my two children, would get $10,000. And the insurance is called a whole life.
Yes.
Now, I've been paying this for 3 years. So my brother looked at the insurance the other day, and he got me a different insurance, which now I'm paying almost $60. And this one, he says, if I die, then my children would get $50,000. Mm-hmm. But I am confused because I was listening to your program about something called an IRA, what I believe was the name.
Mm-hmm.
So I called my brother because he wanted me to cancel the first insurance that I have for 3 years with the $10,000, because he says if I live ten more years, they're gonna take away all my money, and my kids ain't gonna get anything if I die.
Hmm.
So he says I should cancel that insurance and keep the latter one, that one I'm paying the almost $60.
Yeah.
And that's the $50,000. But there's a trick to that insurance, too, I believe, because then he says, if I live to see 84 years old, then I won't get that money either from the other insurance.
Yeah.
So either way, I'm confused now.
Marvin, here's my thought. You know, the purpose of life insurance, it really ultimately is to provide assistance to your loved ones who might be placed in a hardship situation, either because at your passing they're dependent upon you for income and that's gone, or they will have an increase in expense. So that would typically come with a non-working spouse. The non-working spouse is a caretaker for small children. If something were to happen to that person, kids now go into full-time daycare because the remaining spouse is still working full-time. And so, you know, there's a need for being able to provide and add that type of expense to the budget, which can be cost prohibitive. In the case you're talking about, in terms of using whole life insurance, which just by its very nature is going to get more expensive the older you get, because the mortality rate says the older you get, the closer you are on paper to going home to be with the Lord. And so there's an increased cost to underwrite that life insurance every year. And you're using that insurance to, in a sense, provide, I guess, an inheritance to your kids. What I would rather see you do is first answer the question, do I have a need for life insurance? Is there somebody that's depending upon me that if the Lord were to call me home, they would be placed in a really difficult spot and there would be a hardship? If the answer is no, then you really don't need life insurance. So then the question is, okay, with the God's money that he's entrusted to you, what is the best use of that $66 a month? Is it additional savings for you to have if you need long-term care down the road? Is it additional giving right now that the Lord is leading you to do? Is it buying a long-term care insurance policy that's going to provide some assistance for you if you need to go into a nursing home or assisted living or in-home care, something like that? Yeah, any number of things. But I think the question is, I would be asking the question, why $66 a month so my kids can get $50,000? And by the way, they may not, depending on how long I live. I'm just not sure that's the best use of that money if there's not a real need there for life insurance. And so I'd probably look at canceling those, reclaiming the cash value that you've built up, and then praying through the best use for that money moving forward. And I suspect that will become fairly obvious. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Well, and here's the last thing. You're welcome. And let me just finish with this and say it probably makes sense for you. I mean, we can only do so much here in 3 minutes on the air. It probably makes sense for you to sit down with an investment professional, somebody who's experienced, somebody who's knows God's word and can really bring biblical wisdom to bear. So I would go to our website, find a certified Kingdom advisor there in Illinois that you can visit with. And I'd interview a couple of them and just have them look over not only your insurance, but with your investments and your financial plan and give you some counsel there, and I think you'll be glad you did.
Marvin, we're glad that you got through today, and we certainly hope that information helps you. Thank you very much. And Rob West, it's been a great week and always a pleasure, sir. We'll chat again maybe on Monday, okay?
I'll look forward to it, Steve. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Rob. You too. Hey, and thank you not only for tuning in today, but thank you for your prayers and your financial donations that make us coming to you on a daily basis possible. When you visit our website, moneywiselive.org, you'll see a number of free resources there, ways to sign up for the new e-magazine, and then right at the very top of the page, there's a donate tab. If you'd like to make a gift, we would be blessed and honored. Please give that consideration. Again, when you visit moneywiselive.org. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. If you have an email you'd like to send to Rob, keep it brief, just a couple of lines. The address for that is questions@moneywise.org, questions@moneywise.org. My thanks to our production team today, Judy Krohn, Amy Rios, Claire Seagard, and Jim Henry. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore. Drive safely. Have a wonderful weekend. Wear a mask, and if you don't mind, and then join us again Monday for a brand new edition of MoneyWise Live.